Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Yesterday was super for Donald Trump as he crushed Nikki Haley in 14 states. She is out now and likely off to her next position on some board overseeing an endless war agenda, but good riddance, Nikki. Donald Trump has seemingly united the Republican Party, but can he unify the country? The show starts now. It was a big night and a big delegate haul for Donald Trump as he picked up victories in 14 states. I know, like me, y'all were waiting on the edge of your seat for American Samoa to be called. Joe Biden also took home victories in 15 states, though he almost certainly wasn't a way to celebrate. He is likely spending the day today studying up on his schoolhouse rock and getting hooked on phonics in time for his State of the Union address tomorrow night. Spoiler alert, the State of the Union is not good. And here is what else is not good. The hags of MSNBC laughing about the issue of illegal immigration and mocking the people who find it important.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. Again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build a wall. Like,
what? Ha ha, so funny. Apparently, these news personalities are unaware that just 2 weeks ago, in Virginia, an illegal alien from Venezuela was arrested and charged with sexually assaulting a 14-year-old girl in Campbell County, Virginia. The illegal crossed illegally into El Paso in September 2023 and was released into the U.S. by the federal government. Someone may also want to remind those hags that Georgia is also not a border state, but once again, and even so, an illegal immigrant from Venezuela is charged in the murder of nursing student Lake and Riley. Keep laughing, ladies. Your true colors are showing. Joining me now with his takeaways from Super Tuesday and more as host of the Will Kane podcast, Will Kane. All right, Will, big news of the day. Nikki Haley drops out. I think we were all anticipating, some of us hopeful, that this would be the day that she dropped out. And I promise this is the last time I'm going to play any sound or audio from Nikki Haley, but I want to listen to her and her non-endorsement of Donald Trump, indulgent and narcissistic to the very end. Let's take a listen.
I have always been a conservative Republican and always supported the Republican nominee. But on this question, as she did on so many others, Margaret Thatcher provided some good advice when she said, quote, never just follow the crowd. Always make up your own mind. It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that.
Yeah, a little Margaret Thatcher 2.0 and Nikki Haley. What are your thoughts?
So I think you need to be careful, Tommy Lahren. I think you need to be careful about your promises to never play audio again from Nikki Haley. And I'm going to tell you why. You are in large part right. Nikki Haley's relevance today disappears. Her endorsement does not matter. I mean that. I don't think there is a Nikki Haley base. There's not a Nikki Haley contingency. There's not a Nikki Haley camp that needs to be brought into the fold that she could deliver to Donald Trump. I think Nikki is the same as Joe Biden. And that's not me, Tommy, jumping to some, you know, absurd conclusion that her policies are exactly the same as Joe Biden. What I mean is all she ever represented was other. That's it. For 8 years, our politics has been defined by Donald Trump. And there are some people who just simply cannot vote for Trump. And Nikki Haley represented other. Those people represent among Republicans, and those people represent in Democrats. Nobody in 2020 voted for Joe Biden. They just voted other to Donald Trump. So as of today, Nikki Haley no longer represents other. Only Joe Biden represents other. And so her endorsement means nothing to Donald Trump. But Tommy, here's why I think you need to be careful. I think you could end up playing clips from Nikki Haley because I think she still, despite that lack of relevance when it comes to an endorsement, could be a potential pick for vice president.
Oh, do you really think after calling her bird brain, after mocking her, you really think that Donald Trump would do that? And I would also ask you, even if he thought that he could get her supporters, if there even are supporters, because I agree with you, I think that they're just non-Donald Trumpers. I don't think they're for Nikki Haley. But as a VP pick, what significant role would she really play in getting him more votes? I don't think that she's the person that's going to do that.
So first, bird brain, you'll remember De Sanctimonious. I don't remember because of the quantity and the length of time, all of the nicknames for Rick Perry and Little Marco and Lion Ted Cruz. All of those men stood on a debate stage against Donald Trump in what I think was probably a more vicious fight than the fight with Nikki Haley. And all of them ended up, and I heard Kellyanne Conway say this last night on Fox, all of them, save Jeb Bush, low energy Jeb, all of them gravitated to the orbit of Donald Trump. Some of them ended up in the cabinet in the case of Rick Perry. Some of them in the Senate fought for his agenda in Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz. And I don't think the fact that you are a former adversary of Donald Trump precludes you from being a future ally.
If you're just uniquely awful and you represent the swamp? I know that he has poked a lot of fun at a lot of his other former frenemies, and I totally get that. But I think Nikki Haley stands apart from those men, from Marco Rubio, from Ted Cruz, from Rick Perry, from Ron DeSantis. I think Nikki Haley is uniquely awful, and I think everything that she represents is uniquely awful and the opposite of America First. I think that would be like him choosing Mitt Romney as a vice president.
But I'm not telling you what I want. I'm not telling you who I like. I'm telling you to be prepared, Tommy Lahren, to play clips of Nikki Haley, because I think Donald Trump's a deal maker and he's interested in winning. Now, I don't know in the end, to your point, and Nikki, by the way, was in. We know her policies. I agree with you. She's not America First, but she was part of the Trump orbit before. And it's not like her ideas were different when she was there before. You've heard me say, I don't think she is relevant, but I do think there is a segment of a reluctant Republican conservative voter reluctant to Donald Trump. And this is anecdotal now, Tommy. I hear the kind of things I hear from them are often about cabinet, team, who is around him. And I don't think they care about, you know, they're less ideologically driven and they're the more competency driven Republican. And maybe we could throw in suburban women. And I think that Nikki potentially offers something on the menu for those Republicans. I don't think that it's hugely significant because, again, I think everything in American politics is defined by the two words Donald Trump. But I'm just telling you, I wouldn't be surprised if she were a legitimate candidate or a serious candidate or a considered candidate for vice president.
I really hope you're wrong. I think Don Jr. taking shots at her. I would hope that he wouldn't go that way because, as you mentioned, the first go around, the first Trump administration, he made a lot of bad picks that I think that he is regretful about that were more establishment type. So I think it's back in the White House. I don't think he's going to want to surround himself with establishment types again. I think he learned his lesson with what he did the first go around, Jeff Sessions being his first horrible pick. We see how that turned out.
Yeah, I'll just say, by the way, this prediction, and I'm not saying she will be the vice president, but I'm just saying I think that she's not done in that conversation. This prediction is predicated on her going the way of Tim Scott. She is going to have to very soon endorse Donald Trump. She's going to very soon have to become passionate in her support of Donald Trump. If she's interested in vice president.
I also think she's hard to listen to. She reminds me of Hillary Clinton every time I hear her speak. So I don't think she's got a lot of charisma. And I think that Donald Trump needs somebody by his side that's got a little bit of charisma. She's hard for me to listen to. She's hard for me to look at. It just all around, I'm just tired of Nikki Haley. So let's move on to something even better than that. Let's talk about the State of the Union tomorrow night. And let's talk about how concerned you think Biden's staff is about his ability to deliver that address, and how long do you think he's going to be able to stand there?
That's a great question, Tommy. Like, can he do this? I mean, the viewership might be good just for the potential train wreck. Can he actually do this? And for how long? Like, first of all, if he wants to make it short, good, because these things are way too long. Here's if he can pull it off, Tommy. So I did this week on the Will Cain show, which you can subscribe to at YouTube. I think that it is very likely Joe Biden is not the Democratic nominee for president. I think the poll numbers are too obvious and too dire for Democrats. And again, we always have to remember everything's about Donald Trump. There is no ideological center point to this. I said this, I believe if Donald Trump came out tomorrow and said he's interested in raising the highest tax bracket to 80%, they would be opposed, and MSNBC would hold panels on the devastating effect that would have on the economy, mm-hmm. something they've championed for decades. They're just defined by opposing Donald Trump. So therefore, that's all Joe Biden's usefulness is. How much can he stop Donald Trump? And if the polling stays the same, Tommy, the answer is he can't. So he's not useful. So you have to replace him. Now, before that happens, what they're fighting is apathy. All the exit polling from Super Tuesday shows that just no one's enthused. No one is excited. So I think you have a good contingent. Forget the uncommitted. That's the far left who's making a protest vote. I think you have a moderate left who's fatigued on Donald Trump as an existential threat to America, who won't be motivated to go vote for Joe Biden. And the only way to inflame their passion starting tomorrow night, Tommy, at the State of the Union, is to divide us. You are going to hear about authoritarianism, fascism, saving democracy, abortion, race. You are going to see America divided. They are going to attempt to tear us down on every single dividing line in society and make us think we are on the road to Nazism in order to inflame an electorate that's unenthused about Joe Biden.
I think the only way to enthuse that Democrat base is to replace Joe Biden. And I think once they do that, I'm very concerned about Donald Trump's ability to win in November, because I think you bring in someone that's like a shiny new toy like Gavin Newsom, and I think it's over for us. And I wish that that weren't the case. But quite honestly, I know people say, oh, California's so bad. And I often remind folks, yes, but Joe Biden right now is trailing Trump barely, and he can barely speak. So you bring in Gavin Newsom, and I think that you see the left reinvigorated, and I see the right as, oh, well, there's a really hardcore base of Trump supporters, but is the average Republican that excited about Donald Trump, or independents excited about Donald Trump? Not the same way the left is going to be about Gavin Newsom. I think that we're headed for disaster if that ends up being the case, and I firmly believe it's going to be the case.
And I do too, and I believe it will be Gavin Newsom, and I share your concerns. Because he is a very, very talented liar. He is, and to the extent that that is like, you know how baseball players, I know you know how baseball players have five tools. That is a tool of politicians. And he has got that tool. He throws 100-mile-an-hour heater when it comes to lies. And he can do it. Now, my only thing about Gavin is, and by the way, he'd pivot to the center. Watch him. Mm-hmm.
He's already doing it.
Yeah, the minute he becomes the guy, he'll become the most moderate Democrat you've ever heard. Now, my only thing about Gavin is he too slick by half? Like, he's not a used car salesman, but he's the guy at the Maserati lot that you're like, you look like you're worth $50 million, but you're not. And nothing coming across is real. And I just wonder if the talent of that lying is almost too obvious, Tommy. And I'm just talking about the casual voter, you know, mm-hmm. but you're right. Like, if the casual voter is going, I can't do 80-year-old senile Joe Biden, they can probably look past slick back hair and vote for Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, they 1,000% can. And he's got that California political machine behind him, the kind of political machine that birthed Nancy Pelosi and Gavin Newsom in California. So I'm very, very worried. I think that he's going to say all the right things. He's going to look the part. And there's going to be people that thought, you know, I can't vote for Joe because I think he's going to die. But I can't vote for Donald Trump because I hate him. I worry that Donald Trump, as much as people are saying, oh, he's bringing in the black vote, he's bringing in the Hispanic vote, I just fail to believe he's been able to expand his base enough in the last 4 years to be able to compete with not only the Democrat machine, but the mechanics that the Democrats have perfected with mail-in voting, early voting, ballot harvesting, voter registration. You take all those things plus a guy who's in his 40s, and I think we're doomed. And I know people are going to be upset to hear that, but I got to be honest.
Well, one thing you said that I think is interesting and I feel like has been reflected in my life. I know a lot of people that, and I'm one of them, who did not vote for Trump in 16. By the way, that never means voted for Hillary, just for the record. But did move to Trump by 2020. And I know a lot of people like me, COVID insanity, race insanity, positive policies of Donald Trump. I know a lot of people who gravitate, and he grew his base, as you pointed out, between 16 and 20. I don't know many people who have changed their minds from 20 to 24. I don't know that he's grown it. And so back to the threat to Biden, the threat to Biden is that he doesn't have the same base that he had in 20. He doesn't have the same passion. He doesn't have the same vote. And you are right. I think that's very reasonable to say, but Gavin Newsom would.
Yeah. He's got the enthusiasm and he represents something fresh. And so if the left does something fresh and we stick with something old, I think it's going to look real bad. I think all those young voters, Gavin Newsom's also really hard on the issue of abortion in that he supports it, and that's going to be a big election issue. So I don't think we're doing ourselves a lot of favors, but this is the bed we've made for ourselves. So I guess here we are. I want to talk about other ways that Republicans are kind of screwing ourselves. I think that, and again, somebody who is a little bit annoyed with the Taylor Swift coverage. Yesterday, there were several conservatives, Republicans, that were all upset because Taylor Swift put on her social media for people to vote. And she didn't say who to vote for. She just said to go vote. And there are some, especially conservative influencers, that took a real issue with that. And I think that's just stupid. Why would you want to piss off Swifties when there's no reason to piss off Swifties? She didn't do anything wrong. I know you're not a huge fan of Taylor, but do you think we're making stupid moves where we don't have to?
Yeah, but I'm not a fan of Taylor, but I don't hate Taylor Swift. It's not ideological for me. It's that I'm a dude who listens to country music, like real country music. So I'm just not into Taylor Swift. But I think you're right. Like, recognize the power she has in culture. And I agree with you. There's this, you know, I am worried about American culture. I am absolutely worried about it on many levels. And we don't even have to do the most obvious ones, like trans and racial ideology. I mean, of course, those are the biggest, but I'm worried about American culture on a lot of levels. You know, the lack of reverence for the family, for parenthood, how we're parenting. I even think we could have an interesting discussion about the kind of music we listen to and the movies that we choose. I think there's a lot in culture to talk about. But that doesn't mean, like, I don't want to be a reactionary either. I don't want to take everything and go, oh, well, everything in American culture is bad. And I just don't have a lot of opinions, like, about Taylor Swift. I don't think she's, I mean, she has in the past supported Joe Biden. Guess what? That makes her like every other celebrity, right? Like, so I don't think it would be wise to make an enemy of Taylor Swift.
No, I don't think so either. And I think that conservative influencers, they sometimes get in our way with that, with wanting to be outraged about everything. That's taking, you know, a page out of the left's book that we shouldn't be taking, in my opinion. I do want to talk about some other sports things with you. MLB, you know, I'm a baseball fan. MLB The Show introduces female player option. I think it's very interesting. The MLB, like every other sports organization, has gone woke. I don't think the MLB would say anything about trans bio males competing against women, but they want to make a good show for women's rights by including, I guess, female-ish looking player options. What are your thoughts on that?
So I don't play MLB The Show, but I do have a personal connection to this story. So my sons, and this will make me very popular, my sons are super into soccer, which got me into soccer. And for the record, I'm into every sport, football, baseball, basketball, and I love soccer now. So my sons and I play FIFA. I think it's the most popular sports game, that or Madden, but worldwide, probably FIFA. It's the soccer game. And this has happened in the past year or two, Tommy. So what happens is you can select players, you select teams, and the players have a player rating, right? A 90 is a very, very good player. An 80 is a good player. 70, 60, not so good. And they have had women's teams on there in the past. And the women's teams are usually the best players in the world, are rated like in the 60s. And, you know, you wouldn't want to play with them because it's like, well, first of all, you'd never want to play a team against a bunch of men who are rated in the 80s. You'd lose. And if you played women versus women, it would be two teams in the 60s. And the game's just not as fun because the first touch is not as good. The shot's not as good. The pass is not as good. The speed is lower. And by the way, it reflects reality. That's reality, right? And what FIFA has done, though, is readjust their rankings so that the best women's players are on par with the best men's players. So I don't know, like Alex Morgan is the same level as Erling Haaland, who's the best striker in the world. And it's like, that's not right. And so now I see my son's like, hey, do you want to play with the U.S. women's national team? Like, no, I don't want to live in fantasy when I'm playing video games. Like, I don't play Fortnite or fantasy games. I don't like fantasy movies. I wasn't into Lord of the Rings. I kind of like having fun with reality. And so what you're doing with Major League Baseball and then with the FIFA is you're distorting reality. If you make a women's game where the players are on par and that's, you want to play that, that's great. That's fun. But don't sell me a false world where the best women's player is equal to the best men's player.
Well, there's no such thing as a female baseball player anyway. I mean, if you want to, it's not softball. I mean, there's an option for softball. They don't have a softball video game, likely because nobody would play it. Let's be honest. But the fact that they now want to do this, oh, you could pick a female, like that's their nod to women's rights, but they can't tell you what a woman is, to me, just awe-inspiring from the MLB, which obviously I'm close to for personal reasons, but I just think that this optic game of it is so stupid and so disingenuous.
Yeah, disingenuous, absolutely. And also it will never be a reality. You know, it'll never be a reality. And I'm not being mean. It just will not be a reality that women's soccer is equal to men's soccer, or that you're going to see some women throwing, you know, like JP, they're going to be throwing sliders and curves and overhand pitch and make their way to Major League Baseball. And it's also, to your point, not just disingenuous, though, it's stupid. Like this, why don't you work on keeping men out of women's sports? That would do more for women's sports than pretending that they can play in Major League Baseball.
Agreed. So last thing I want to discuss, because we did a lot of politics. This is the politics of the air. So there's been a debate ignited online, a lot of plane etiquette debate going around online. The latest one is about the plane window. This went viral late last week. Who gets to shut the shade or open the shade on a plane? What is your analysis of who should be able to adjust that shade in the air?
I didn't see this. Oh, this is good stuff, because, you know, you might travel, not, I don't know if you travel as much, but you're pretty close. I see you up there in New York a fair amount. I'm in New York every week on flights. And I think this is a wonderful, like Seinfeldian, you know, debate of humanity. Like, you know, why can't we figure out if you're boarding group four, don't clog the lane so boarding groups one and two can't get on? This one is infuriating to me. Everybody's confused about the boarding process, conveniently to benefit them. Mm-hmm. No one's confused like, oh, I missed my number and boarded last. You're always confused to board first. The slide, the window. Window seat has a 70% vote in this, but I do think the window seat should be conscientious to the aisle seat. You should kind of like, if you pour light in at 30,000 feet and it blinds everybody, maybe, and they're trying to sleep or whatever they're doing or watching a movie and you're glaring off of them, you need to be aware of your surroundings and maybe be a conscientious passenger. But ultimately, if it's not bothering them and it's no obvious, you know, not ruining their flight, you get to decide. You're sitting there, shade up, shade down.
Yeah. Another thing on this, I think everybody should have the ability to recline if they want to recline. There's the reason that there's a button on everybody's seat. So I know some people don't like it. Too bad. The 2 inches that you lose is not going to make or break your life. The person in the middle seat gets both armrests because, hello, they have to be in the middle seat. It already sucks. They get both. The person at the window, they get to adjust the shade. The person in the aisle, obviously, I'm an aisle sitter because I like to be able to get out. I don't like to be boxed in the corner. I'd rather be in the middle than the window because I don't like people boxing me in. Last thing I want to ask you about this, because it's the battle of the sexes, what do you think about men on flights, whether they're in the middle seat, the aisle seat, window? It doesn't matter. Men sit with their legs very wide, maybe for biological reasons. But as a woman who sits with her leg closed, when a man sits next to me and feels the need to spread their legs wide so they can let their parts breathe, it annoys me to no end, mercy. Especially if they're already large. I'm sitting here taking up this much space and a man's just gotta like flail out. And I think it's inappropriate. I think men should close their legs on flights.
First of all, I'm window over aisle. I want to rest my head against the wall, and I don't need to get up. I have a very strong constitution with my bladder. So I'm usually good to go for 3 hours by the window. I think I'm a man spreader. I think I am. And you need to know some things. I'm not doing it consciously. I'm not thinking I need to, and all the details you gave us about why I'm not. It's just how my hips rest, how my knees rest. And I have been in seats before where I've been forced for whatever reason to draw my knees in. And I feel like I'm cramping on the outside of my, my glutes over here. Like, cause that's just not how it rests the legs, Tommy. It's just not how they rest. Like, I'm not doing it to commandeer space. I'm not doing it to, I don't even know that I'm doing it. I'm just sitting comfortably, Tommy.
Yeah. I also always notice too, when I'm flying, men that want to spread wide and have more room always pick the smallest female to sit by because they're like, oh great, I can have my seat and half of yours. And I have to be quietly resentful of this, but yes, most men are wide spreaders on airplanes. And
what
I guess—
Are you flying Southwest? I don't get a lot of choices in who I sit next to unless I'm on Southwest.
Yes.
So,
I fly a lot of Southwest, yes. And you're right about the boarding.
There's also imaginary lines. There's imaginary lines, okay. Like the frame of your seat. I do look at the imaginary line. Have my knees really gone over the imaginary line from the seat in front of me into your space? You see, so if I saw my knees way over there in your space, Tommy, I'd try to do a shift, you know, or something, and find some other way to give you your space back while still sitting comfortably on a plane.
Well, I'm glad that we could really hash this out. Most important part of our discussion today, I believe, and probably, you know, the thing that's going to change the world the most. But thank you, Will, as always, for taking the time. And I hope to see you soon. Safe travels this weekend to New York, and watch the legs.
All right. Thank you, Tommy.
Thanks, Will. All right, folks. The Biden administration admits your tax dollars are being used to secretly fly illegals into your country. Are you pissed yet, or do you not have a pulse? It's time for final thoughts. Your country is under attack and is being invaded by millions of illegal immigrants from all over the world. And your president and your president's boss, whoever that is directly responsible for it. But this goes beyond catch and release and appeasing BS asylum claims. This goes beyond sanctuary cities and debit cards and all the other crap these people have been given. Thanks to a FOIA or Freedom of Information Act request, the Biden administration has been forced to admit to flying, trafficking, really, at least 320,000 illegal aliens from their country of origin directly into the United States on secret flights. This has all been done with the help of the CBP One app, which allows foreigners to just jump on their cell phones and use the app to apply for asylum in the U.S. and then, boom, boom, pow, be flown here. These illegals, who cannot legally enter the U.S. and have no legal right to be here, can still use the CBP One app to apply for travel authorization and temporary humanitarian release from those airports. Through this program, these aliens are flown here and then released into the shadows via a parole program. They are allowed to stay in the U.S. for at least 2 years and are eligible for work authorization. This CBP One app and secret flight programs were also implemented and manipulated to ease the appearance of invasion at our southern border. Instead of these illegals walking in for our Fox News cameras to capture, at least 320,000 of them were just flown in under the radar. Thanks to the Center for Immigration Studies, we now know that Biden's CBP agency approved these secret flights of hundreds of thousands of illegals into at least 43 airports in just the span of January through December of last year. And here's where it gets even more infuriating. The Biden administration refuses to reveal which airports these illegals have been flown into, citing a law enforcement exception and arguing the disclosure of this information could create national security vulnerabilities. Okay, I want to walk you right back through that. The Biden administration, using your tax dollars, has flown hundreds of thousands of illegals into your country, but will not disclose where and which airports, because that is a national security vulnerability. Want to take a whack at the national security vulnerabilities created by flying hundreds of thousands of foreign nationals into our airports and into our country? This is treason, plain and simple. And the audacity of these Democrats is what nightmares and failed empires are made of. Adios, America. Those are my final thoughts from Nashville. God bless and take care.